Hey everybody, it's me, Bobby, again. And in episode 4, we're going to examine the voyeur within us. Now, if you listen to the podcast, the third one, I believe, the kinky among us, you might think that I'm talking about people that we've actually come in contact with that's been trying to peek in someone's windows or apartments or something like that. Not the issue at all. I'm talking about the voyeur among us. The voyeur among, especially the law enforcement field this time. And the reason that I'm talking about this is it is just so odd to me, and it always was odd to me, while working patrol, how many people you come upon who just cannot and absolutely cannot resist the passion that's building within them. Their partners are there with them, and they have to stop right in the middle of a town, right underneath a stoplight or business light, and start doing their business. So to speak. Now, let me try to set this up just a little bit better for you so you get some sort of idea where I'm talking about. I am located in Indiana, in a small town of about 7,000 people. The police department that I once was the chief of police on is 7 full-time men, 3 part-time men, a reserve staff of individuals who want to get into law enforcement or had been in law enforcement, a civilian staff at one time of 1 full-time and 4 part-time individuals. So a small department, but then again, in Indiana, I think it is 60% of departments in Indiana are 25 men or less. So a lot of small departments in Indiana. Now, the thing about where I'm at, I am right next door to arguably the second or third largest city in the state of Indiana. Now, this city is the city of is roughly 400,000 people. The metropolitan area is putting it, you know, closer to 800,000 plus. Then you have around this major city is what I still can call the metropolitan area. I mean, our town is 4 miles away from this town. Then you have other towns about the same size as my town, which are roughly, one of them is just a little over 4 miles. Another one is probably maybe 5, yeah, I'd say 5 miles. Then you have a couple more that are a little bit further out there, that are a little bit, maybe 15 miles away, but still on major interstate and highway, you can be 15 miles in just a few moments. So what I'm trying to get at is, you know, we're a small city located to a larger city. Now, my city is like a lot of the others in Indiana. They're small. They rural. One of the major industries in Indiana is the farming industry. Within, if you're in the center of my thriving metropolis, you can be at a cornfield within probably 5 minutes at max. So, you know, the points I'm trying to make up is that you can be out in a wooded area in 5 minutes. So what I have never understood is why these couples, most of the time couples, feel the need. Usually they're coming back from a concert or one of the drinking establishments in this larger town, and they've had a good time, they're with their significant other, they feel good, maybe alcohol is involved. I'm going to say, out of the things you're going to listen to, only one of them had alcohol involved. So mostly it is the drug known as lust that caused these individuals to be in the situation that they're in. So, with that said, what I couldn't understand is why these individuals can't drive just a few more minutes and be out in a area where the only thing that's going to possibly interrupt them is maybe a deer running by, a coyote running by, a raccoon staring at you, maybe an owl hooting at you, just something like that. So the first situation, the first incident, and the other incident, the other part of this that I don't understand is, not only do they do this in town when there's those wooded areas 2 or 3 minutes away, but they also just seem to always park in a parking lot of a business in the center of the town that is lighted, that is right by the street. And I don't understand. Is that part of the thrill? Whenever I went parking, I didn't want that. You know, I know there's the part of being caught might be part of the fun of it. But if you're going to do that, at least make it a challenge, at least. But the first incident, as a young patrolman, I would get out at night, especially in the summer when it's nice, walk around businesses, check the doors, make sure they're locked, make sure that no one's tampered with anything. And this one business that I stopped and checked, I entered on one street, and there was also an entrance on another street. So as I'm walking around the business, I notice a car. Well, okay, there's a car parked in this business. Sometimes people would park there. They had family in the area. They were attending a party. So they would park in that parking lot. So I continued to check a door here, check a door there, and the car still sitting there, which later made me think they had to have seen me in their rearview mirror or outside mirror or something. It just made it that much more confusing or dazzling to me. So as I was getting ready to go to one other door, I noticed that this car was running, which now made it even got my attention, because I'm like, well, why is this car just sitting here this whole time running? Obviously they've seen me too, is what I thought. As I approached the car, I approached it in a safe manner, behind it, slightly to the left side. And as I got to the car, I noticed that the car was running. The window was down. It was a nice spring night. It wasn't cold, it was cool. And as I got to the car, I noticed that this woman was sitting in the car with her skirt up around her waist, masturbating. Which, again, I mean, as I walked up to her, she didn't notice me until she was pretty well done. And that's pretty well what I asked her. Are you done? Which she looked at me and said, yeah, at least you gave me enough time to get through. So I asked her why she was sitting there, and she said because the lighting was good, which made me go, what? What she meant was she was reading a book, and it was an adult romance book, and she became enthralled in one of the lovemaking sections and felt the need to have a release of her own, as you might say. But when I asked her, did you just come here just to read? She said no, she had been driving and had the book there and kept kind of glancing over and saw the book and thought, you know, I might as well read. So, mystery solved. The next one, our police department sits close to one of the city's parks. There's three parks in our city. And in the across from the park, there was an elderly lady that lived in the home. And if we missed a car parked in the park, she had a habit of letting our chief know that we had missed a car parked in the park. Your boys missed one again. Sometimes we're doing other things, but we always made sure that we kind of watched the park and ran people out, because the city ordinance was that if you're in the park after dark, you could be fined. So one evening I'm getting ready to go to the police department to do some paperwork, and as I looked up, I noticed a car parked in the parking lot. Well, this is at dusk, not quite dark enough. If you're outside, you would need a flashlight, but close to it. So I walk up to the park and proceeded to walk up to the car. And as I get to the car, I notice the windows are tinted, and I proceed to tap on the window with my flashlight, and the window comes down. And there's a attractive young lady sitting there, and a gentleman sitting in the car seat, the passenger seat. I notice he has several packages sitting on his lap. And when I asked, what are you doing here? She made the statement, I'm giving him his birthday presents. I said, oh, I see. And it made sense. There were two or three unwrapped packages laying on his lap. Now, as I looked a little bit around the car a little bit more, make sure there wasn't any drugs or anything like that, I flashed the flashlight over on his side of the car, down more into the foot area, and noticed that his pants only came up to his knees. From his knees up to his shirt, I could see skin, and that's why the packages were sitting directly on top of his lap, just as tight as he could keep them on his lap, was the way he was holding them. So I told her, well, do you see that house over there? There's a little old lady over there who, if I don't run you out of here, she's going to tell the chief tomorrow, well, your boy let somebody sit in the park. So I'm going to have to ask you to leave, but I'm also pretty understanding too. First, might I suggest next time you need to give him his birthday present, if you drive 2 minutes that way, you'll be out in the middle of the county, which are 1,000 places to park that are more secluded. And the second thing I'm going to tell you is, I'm going to be in here doing dropping some paperwork off for about 20 minutes. And I really suggest that if you need that much more time, take it to give him his birthday present, then go ahead and leave for me, please. So they were happy. I was laughing. And that problem, or potential criminal situation, was investigated thoroughly and found just to be some people enjoying the scenery. Another incident happened in another one of our parks, and this led to an individual who was highly perturbed with me after the situation. When I drove into the county, the park, you have to understand that after driving these city roads, some nights I would drive 100 plus miles in a town that's this size. I mean, it's just driving and patrolling and driving and driving and driving. So I know these parks like the back of my hand, and I can drive them in the dark like the back of my hand. And that's what I did. As I entered the park, I turned my headlights off, and I would drive in to investigate, make sure I didn't see anyone up there. This park, if you drove into it when you first came in with your headlights on, somebody would see you. It seemed like a mile and a half up the road. That's how long this park road is. And there's several offshoots. So if you picked one, somebody would see you. If you were driving the other way, would still see you park somewhere else. So I turned my headlights off and drive up these park roads. As I drove around the corner, I noticed a car sitting there. And when I pulled up close to it, as soon as I turned my headlights on, almost immediately, I'm getting ready to get out of the car. The car's headlights turn on, and this car's taking off, throwing gravel everywhere, almost turning sideways, which then caused me to hit my red lights and go into more of a normal law enforcement stop. As I get out with my flashlight on, running up to the car side, I notice a young man in the front seat with nothing on, and a young woman in the back seat trying to get her clothes, trying to find them through his clothes in the dark, and trying to find, and as I'm shining the flashlight on her, of course I can tell that this young lady is naked, and she begins to yell at me, as I can quote her, "Turn the fucking light off," which I said no, which she then accused me of being a fucking pervert. Which I later informed her, no, I wasn't. I'm a provert. I am one better than that. Thank you. But I told her, get her clothes. And as she finally got her clothes on, it was hilarious because she even put her shirt on backwards. I explained to her why I wouldn't go away. I said, I had no clue what was happening here. He might have been holding you against his will, or holding him against your will, which, you know, could have possibly been what happened at first. I kind of doubt it when she started telling me to turn the light off and things of that nature, but he could have been forcing her to be in the back seat. Second, the thing I want to make sure of is the age. We run into a lot of things where, of course, you have somebody who is, you know, 20 years old that's dating someone who is 16-year-old. And so, of course, I want to find out, make sure it's something that's not of that nature, which this was not. So after checking to make sure that he wasn't forcing her, since they were both of age, which it turned out the young man was somebody that I had known for, oh, I don't know, since he was probably about 8 years old, I would say. So, I mean, he was known him since he was eight. He was I think he was like 20 then, so that tells you how long I've known him. So then the next thing I had to explain to her was, okay, those two things were fine, to make sure that there weren't any drugs in the car, or then weapons in the car. Actually, weapons first, but in this situation, you know, make sure that no one was, they weren't partying and taking drugs and decided to have sex. And then last, you know, make sure that no one had any warrants or something, that the reason that they were trying to take off. And everything turned out fine. It was just, this was a place for them to go to have sex, and unfortunately I interrupted that. I have a way of making you have erectile dysfunction. So and I explained to the young man, which of course I'm not going to call him by name, we'll just call him Tim, don't you know that by living in this town your entire life that you can drive someplace else and be alone? Which he replied, she was ready to fuck when we left the other big town. So he said this was one of the first places I could think of. Makes sense, but still think I could have found other places. So that mystery was taken care of. Now, sometimes you run into situations where you know both parties, and it's not always fun to know both parties. Case in point, driving one night, and I noticed that as I drive through the city's one of the drinking establishments, the owner was always wanting us to drive through the parking lot, very pro police, and make sure no one's doing anything, drugs or fights or anything they shouldn't be doing in the parking lot. Well, as I noticed one night that one night as I was patrolling this establishment, this was a fall night, and as I drove through the parking lot, you could see every window in the parking lot was clear, except one. It was foggy, which usually would indicate someone's in it. So as I approached the vehicle, I began to notice movement in the vehicle, which then I also thought I knew the vehicle. And then I noticed there was an individual sitting towards the front, in the front passenger side, holding on to the dash, jumping up and down, and all I can notice was a pair of breasts jumping up and down too. As I got closer to the vehicle, I also noticed the man that she was sitting on their lap, I guess you could say, was an individual that I knew as well. So I knew the female and I knew the male. This female was a single female. The male, on the other hand, was a married male, which this was not his wife, which made him embarrassed, which made me confused, because his wife was a stunner. I just could not, I wanted to get out of the car and smack him in his head, because this woman that he was with, you might say, I would call her coyote ugly. If you don't know the definition of coyote ugly, that's when you take a woman home from the bar, you wake up and you see that she is laying with your arm under her head. So rather than to wake her up, you chew your arm off so you can get away. That's how bad it is. So she's coyote ugly. His wife I have seen in a bathing suit on more than one occasion, and is like, holy crap, are you blind? Stupid. You know, I just couldn't understand it. Now, the weeks following that was so funny, because he would almost make point to run into me someplace while on duty. I mean, we're cool, right, Bobby? We're okay. We're not, you're not going to say anything to, I'm not going to say anything to your wife, no. You weren't in a criminal act. There was no report needed to be taken. Yes, I could have arrested her for not trying to take more of a, trying to cover those things up. But as far as you go, like I said, I couldn't see you, but you weren't, I couldn't see you, being nude, so, no, there was no report made. I'm not telling your wife, I'm not, we're cool. Now, what I should have said is, how much money do you have? Do you have any pictures of your wife naked? Do you, no, something like that, but I didn't. Thought about it, but I didn't. So, the last situation is one that to this day still confuses me. As I'm driving, it's almost dusk again, and I'm driving by one of the schools, and as I drive by in a lit parking lot, I see a Pontiac Trans Am with a hatchback lid trunk on it. And as I'm driving by, I notice that there is a what appears to be a male subject in the front seat, leaning kind of across the back seat, and the first thing that came to my mind is somebody's in someone else's car going through something in the back seat, trying to get speakers, trying to get something. So I immediately turned back around and at a fairly high rate of speed entered the parking lot, drove up next to the vehicle, flipped on my alley light so I could shine up into the vehicle. Again, it was dusk, and the male came back across the passenger seat to sit in the driver's seat. I see a male, young, fully clothed. And as I approach the passenger side window, I see a pair of knees sticking up. That's all you can see exposed from the window, is two kneecaps. Bare kneecaps. And as I get to the car, I get ready to open up the door, and as I look down, shining my flashlight, I see a female subject is squatted down as low as she can into the car. If you can imagine, her feet are in the floorboard, her butt is almost in the floorboard, and her body is trying to get as flat as it can. And she is completely nude. So once again, I gotta make sure that this guy is not sexually attacking this girl, to make sure that this guy is not with a girl who is underage, make sure there's no drugs in the car and nothing stolen, etc., etc. Excuse me. So the first part, you know, she said, well, this is my boyfriend. I got her out of the car, make sure that, you know, wasn't something that she said right beside a guy that wasn't. It was, again, her boyfriend, as they both gave me their IDs after they got dressed, or after she got dressed. They were both teenagers. Um, They were both there. I asked why there. They said that they didn't really know any other place, and they didn't think anybody would be by. Which I said, there's a road 30 feet in front of you, and a lot of people use the school to bring their kids and come and play. How would you like to walk up on that? So I said, there's a lot of people who come up here that you need to kind of plan this out a little bit more. And I began telling him, if you drive 15 minutes that way, if you drive 10 minutes this way, if you maybe even drive 5 minutes that way, rural, cornfield, bean fields, woods, just tons of roads that you can get on. That'll eventually turn into gravel. That when you know you hit a gravel road, you know you're in a pretty close area that you're going to find something that you can park on pretty quick. So, that's a definition or explanation again of how close we are. When you hit gravel, you know you're in good shape. Now, what I want to leave you with on this one is, why? Why? I wanted to ask the boy, you have a pretty girlfriend who is totally undressed. I don't mean she has her underwear on. I don't mean she had a pair of thongs on. I mean she was totally undressed. What were you waiting for? What were you thinking? Obviously, you were thinking about parking because you just told me that you wanted to park, but you didn't really know where to go. But so you were thinking about parking, but you were waiting for what? I wanted to take him and say, do you want me to draw you instructions on what you should be doing next? Do you want to give me a phone call sometimes and I'll kind of talk you through part of it? I never did understand that one. I mean, it was just it just blew my mind. This one, like I said, the other ones all made sense of why they were parking, why they got caught up in the moment. You know, there's been a couple more where I'm driving down the highway through town and I am driving by, I see a car parked in a parking lot with a pair of feet pointed up in the windshield and a pair of feet pointed down in the windshield, know what they're doing, put the car in stop. Put the car in stop, I don't know what gear that is. But turned around, came back, and by the time I got back, I didn't find them. Now, I didn't do a police turnaround because it wasn't that big a deal, but I did drive down the road until I knew where there was a parking lot that I could turn around in and come right back. But I mean, I'm talking mere a minute. And these people hightailed it out there. That I can understand. The other situations we went through, I understand. This one, I have never, ever, after all these years of leaving law enforcement, never understood. Now, so that's why this one was entitled The Voyeur Among Us, because the voyeur was me doing the watching, and which is a lot of a police officer's job. You don't want something to happen. You just watch what happens, which I believe is a line from the movie The Untouchables. But so, again, the next time your local police officer is just sitting someplace in the middle of the night, just wonder for a moment what he might have just witnessed. So until then, next time, guys, until then, be safe.